beautiful as usual. I am his, and he is mine. And so it is. Whether we know it or not, whether we think on it or not, whether we realize it or not, there is an unlimited source that lived us and has lived us since day one. We may call this loving presence God, Lord, the Good, or by whatever name. It does not matter, as it is pure principle, pure love, omnipresent, all-knowing, and all-power. By realizing this source as our individual being, we die to self and let its law bring forth the life fruits that are inherent in the kingdom of heaven. The definition of law out here in the world is a binding custom or practice of a community, a rule or mode of conduct or action that is prescribed or formally recognized as binding by a supreme controlling authority and enforced by the controlling authority. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament dates back some 1,280 BC and takes the form of moral imperatives as recommendations for a good society, for the way to live. And as we have learned here in our church, the Old Testament is about the love of the law, sowing and reaping, and punishment. Whereas the New Testament, the good news brought forth by the Master Jesus, is all about the law of love. Regardless, law is indeed in place. No doubt each one of us here today is familiar with this or that law and its prevailing direction as to what we can or cannot do, what we should do or what we should not do. From day one, we are told by our parents, by our school teachers, by employers, and this or that figure of authority, that we must follow the rules, the laws of the land, and the principle of proper conduct. From kindergarten to college, we know that we should follow the rules of a good student. Be attentive. Study hard. Read assignments. Complete our homework and practice for tests. And by doing so, we see that our grades reflect the merit of such activity. And back during the days when we were in grammar in high school, some of us might recall just how happy and proud our parents were when we brought home those great report cards. Yes, we had followed the rules and good was realized. Our parents were happy, and so were we. This wasn't the case for me, by the way. Alternatively, when the rules are not followed, there are consequences that are not necessarily good. Consequences that have been brought about by our refusal to follow, to adhere to the law, to well-established rules. And so it is that we also learn about these consequences from a very early age. For those of you that were in attendance last week during the ordination service, you may have met my eldest son, John. Well, many years ago, when John was a small boy of 2, maybe 3 years old, he seemed to be fascinated by the iron that I used to iron my military dungarees. Knowing this, I was always tell John, remind him, don't touch that iron. It's hot, and it shall burn you. But like so many little children, he had to find out himself. So one day, while at a friend's home, little John put his finger on her hot iron and cried out in pain, with tears rolling down his eyes. And so it was that never again did little John touch a hot iron. The lesson in this case was learned. Follow the rules. Don't touch things that are hot, and you shall not get burned. By the way, the iron, like so many other things out here in the world, was just being what it is, an iron. It did nothing to cause John to get burned. Rather, it was through his own thinking and decision that the experience was created. As within, so without. From childhood to adulthood, the rules prevail. And so was the law of the land for each of us, completely indifferent, with every individual in every place subject to it. No one is exempt, my friends, and it is both personal and universal. And now we come to the law of life, the law of spirit, of God, a law that is of our very own Creator, a law that has been in place since time began, and a law that, when followed, brings about heaven on earth, brings about perfection, peace, and a sense of total fullness. And so it is that God is spirit, and those who worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. As divine scientists, as students of the truth as taught by the Master Jesus, we know there is but one God, omnipresent spirit, infinite, eternal, changeless. This infinite is the all in all. It is the source of all, out of which are all things made. To this holy and loving source alone, we must turn to for our good, for our direction, as there is none other besides him. We acknowledge our Father, from which and in which we find all goodness and all supply. For many of us here today, when we came to this church and decided that the truth of our divine science teaching resonated with us, that yes, we were one in and of God, we embarked upon a variety of steps to become more aware of the nature of God and the nature of us, and how blessed we were when we learned of the Christ of each of us. Yes, that good news. We contemplated, we became more receptive, and we hope for a more peaceful and fulfilled life through the realization of our being. We started to attend church regularly. We started to read more and more metaphysical books, more scripture. We learned of the absolute necessity of prayer, of meditation. And we embarked upon the taking of the divine science courses. Yes, we gained more and more knowledge. We learned all the more of our true nature, our spiritual being. But as we became more and more attuned to that which we are in God, we also realized that the reading about such things, the talking about such things, the sharing about such things, the thinking about such things was not good enough. And so, there comes a time when we know that in order for us to honestly live in and with the presence of God, we are to get that mind that was also in the Christ Jesus and walk ye in him. In other words, my friends, it comes a time when talking the talk is not good enough. that it is fraudulent, and it is now time for us to live in the law of God, to walk the walk, to live the truth, so that the light of our loving Christ is felt by all in whom we come into contact. And right now, as it was in our many yesterdays, all of the wisdom, all of the knowledge, all of the power is within, right now, is our eternal being, all the while providing us the way forward. So let us abide in God and walk the glorious path of truth. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And so it is that from childhood to adulthood, we are presented with choices out here in the world. And given our faith and our individual states of consciousness, we shall intuitively live by the Spirit and the laws of God, or we shall go it alone with a human mind filled with the material world of error. And again, going it alone, letting the ego and its human weaknesses run the show, has its very own results, most of which are full of disappointment, error, and earthly effect. But still, since the days the Master walked the earth over 2,000 years ago, since the beginning of time, and up until this very moment, there have been those, and are those still today, that firmly believe in personal concepts of God, formed and patterned from intellect, born of ignorance, and tied to the effects of the temporal world out here. They have made God in their own image and likeness, an idol, a golden calf, born of the world of flesh. Thus, these individuals cling to their concept of God, a God of imagination, a God of confusion, a concept that to them seems so very powerful, and unfortunately, a concept that becomes the very bar to man's discovery of his inner truth. And although they are in turmoil time and time again, turmoil brought about by their own making, they cannot understand, nor do they wish to learn, the ways, the loving law of that which lives them, that which is closer than breathing and hands and feet. And then there are those who plead ignorance of the law. Well, my friends, we all know right from wrong. And we all know about the law of expression, that it is through thought and feeling and the decisions we make that we ourselves, bring about in our daily lives our very own conditions and experiences. Experiences and situations that are an exact likeness of the errant thinking that brought them into being. As within, so without. Regarding an ignorance of the law, an ignorance of principle, a sense of being separate apart from God, let us consider an example. Let us consider in this case those that believe they are a law unto themselves. Yes, that they alone are in charge, that it is through their personalities, their intellect, that they shall prevail. So, it is in this context that whenever I see a certain bumper sticker on the back of a vehicle, I just smile to myself and give thanks to God for the knowledge that He is above all, within all, and not of the limited human mind. The mind of the individual displays such a bumper sticker, and unfortunately, knows not. This bumper sticker reads, "God is my co-pilot." Let me repeat that. God is my co-pilot. Think about that for a moment. Well, if God is our co-pilot, who is doing the steering? Who is in charge? Who is controlling that vehicle of life? Yes, don't we all understand the folly associated with the words on this bumper sticker? God is my co-pilot. Likewise, ignorance of the law or the refusal to live in it shall bring forth little, if any, good fruit, as it is the mind of the Son of Man, the man that knows not God. And how many times have we, you and I, believed that we were in charge? We were flying the plane of daily life, that we needed no spiritual truth, no principle, no law to provide us the proper navigation and the flight path to whatever it is we sought in life. How many individuals, knowing full and well that which they should do, go about not doing so, not following principle, because of ego, a sense of self-importance, a sense of separation from God? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yes, the individuals who believe that it is they that pilot the way, that refuse to turn over the controls to God, ultimately find themselves headed into the experiences of sadness, depression, lack, failed relationships, of a sense of emptiness. And to think, all the while, there is a law in place, a perfect way forward, just waiting for them to realize and to follow it. Prove me now, saith the Lord. Not my will, but thine be done. And so it is that when the law of God, of good, when principle is incorporated into our subconscious, into our hearts and souls, the results are overflowing good, abundance, health, and the demonstrations of love that touch all about us. And it is through the abiding in God that we learn of principle and the joyous way forward, the way forward into greater realization of that kingdom within, the kingdom of our Father. And most importantly, it is then that the words of the Master echo throughout our being. I can of mine own self do nothing. It is the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the work. And so it is yesterday, last year, since time began, this very second, we have all of the wonderful and loving guidance and direction within us. And we have the still small voice within, always reminding us, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. My friends, you and I, we here today, everyone in this world, we are not limited beings. We are not destined to simply live some temporary number of years and then die a human death. Rather, we are eternal, spiritual beings, individual expressions of God. And as such, we are to be full of that light and demonstrate our truth in action. And to do so, we must look to our truth and live in this truth in consciousness as often as possible, each and every waking moment throughout our days. If we find ourselves in a sense of separation from God, as we all do from time to time, if we find ourselves feeling in despair and lost, it is because we have made decisions based upon the errant ways of the world. We have looked in error to things counter to God, counter to good, counter to health, and counter to our very being. It is at these times that we must turn within again and again and live from within out. It is at these times that we make a conscious decision to change our lives for the better. The kingdom of heaven is before us right now, this very moment, and it is up to each of us to follow the path to its realization. Regarding our dominion, our decisions in life, let us consider another example. If a tight shoe has raised a painful blister on your foot, and you continue to walk on it, you would be creating a festering and more painful situation. No amount of prayer or practice or meditation of the truth will bring about relief in this case. It is pain and discomfort that is telling you to take off your shoe so the blister might heal. And it is through our God-given power of thought, intelligence, and reason that we hopefully do take off that shoe, that we realize that it is too small for us, a misfit, and decide not to wear it again, and to follow the rules, and in the future, to purchase shoes that fit. Well, there it is. As soon as we take off that shoe, how quickly the relief comes. How good we feel. Yes. So it is in our daily lives out here in the world, my friends. The moment you mentally give up a thing which causes you trouble, which causes you pain, which causes you doubt, a feeling of emptiness, and as you go within to the wonderful ways of God, of your true being, and your perfection, you shall experience the immediate and wonderful relief in and of God, of your perfection. But with this said, we must know that God is not going to do for you that which you are able to do for yourself. As an eternal spiritual being, made in His image and likeness, you must do these things for yourself. You must go inside. You must decide. So don't blame God or anything or anyone else for your perceived problems, for those things like the tight shoes that bind you to the pain of error. But rather, realize truth, adhere to principle, and be free, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It is always our choice, my friends. I think we all know that. So let us consider the following. If you were thirsty and came upon two pools of water, and there was a sign at one that read, poison, and a sign at the other that said, fresh, pristine, cool water, would you consciously drink of the poison water? I think not. So why is it the man, with the knowledge, with the guidance at hand, with his intuitive nature, with his ability to think, to act, to create, all too often drinks of the poison water? Why? Why does man follow the way of the flesh, of ego, and then complains of his lot in life, complains of the so-called pain and suffering that he himself put forth by error thinking? in his own separation, his sense of separation from God. It is time to give up once and for all any remaining false limited concepts of some God distant and apart from us, to give up the childish rituals and the beliefs of a God that blesses the good but punishes the bad. There is no such God, as God does not have favorites. God just is, and we are the I Am of Him. God's glorious ways, His laws, principle, is for everyone that seeks to follow them in heart, in soul, in consciousness. Again, it is our choice. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. It is through the practicing of the presence of God. It is through the understanding and appreciation of His righteousness and His ways that we recognize all the more that very light of Christ within our very own souls. That loving light. That loving light that lives the souls of every person, everywhere, without exception. By dying to the small self, by dying to arrogance, ignorance, defiance, and self-pride, and all of the things counter to our good, the kingdom of heaven is then experienced. And the glorious and wonderful light of Christ works through us and facilitates the freedom of all of those to whom and which it comes into contact. This is the light of God that heals the sick, feeds the hungry, gives living water to the thirsty, and supplies the enlightened soul with meat not of this world. It is the glory of the eternal God, our Father, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we make this lesson practical today and into the future. Will you join me now in our closing meditation? And let this lesson come into your consciousness, your minds, your souls. Right now, this very moment, let us direct our thoughts inward. Let us lift our thoughts and place our attention on that which is holy and sacred and in the midst of us, simply awaiting our recognition. Yes, dear Father, it is you in us, through us, as us, that diffuses any negative situation, that heals the sick, that feeds the hungry, that gives sight to the blind. Father, we direct our emotional attention not to the human situation or condition, but to you, O glorious God. You and you alone are the power that does the good work, that heals all the hurt and comforts the fearing heart. It is you, Father, you within, that is revealed in the deep silence of our meditations. that goes before us, making every crooked place straight. Father, we seek for nothing but to know and to abide in your wonderful and unfailing law, as to do so brings forth peace on earth, a smile on the faces of your beloved children, a sense of unlimited gratitude, and the demonstrations of unconditional love. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for showing us the way. And thank you for your steadfast and loving presence. Amen. The Lord blesses thee. The Lord keeps thee. The Lord shines his love upon thee and is gracious unto thee. He lifts thy consciousness and gives thee peace. Amen.